Psalm 145. On Sunday evenings, we're doing something different each month. And this evening's prayer and praise. And so we're looking at a psalm of praise this evening to encourage us to praise and to worship the Lord. And the psalm we're looking at is 145, which is entitled A Song of Praise. The little superscription says A Song of Praise of David. David wrote it, and he wrote it as a song of praise. It's the only psalm in the Psalter with that title. And it is a cacophony of praise. It begins with praise and blessing the Lord. It finishes with praise and with blessing the Lord. That's what the psalm's all about. We're going to read it and then unpack it. And we'll see from it reasons to praise and worship the Lord. David says this, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is God's word. David, in the psalms that he wrote, which was a lot of psalms, maybe the third, maybe half the Psalter were written by David, all have a similar format. He gives thanks to God. He asks God to deal with his enemies, and then he thanks God for dealing with them. That's the sort of thing that David does, except in two psalms. And there's two psalms which are written by David, which are an overflow of praise to God, where he doesn't talk about his enemies and dealing with them in a particular situation, but where he just wants to praise God. One is Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. And the second one is here in Psalm 145. It's an outpouring of worship, and it's the last of the Psalms of David. In fact, the last five Psalms in the Psalter are often described as, they're probably written later, and were written as a conclusion to the Psalter, these five psalms of praise. So this is, as it were, the last psalm in the Psalter before that conclusion of praise. And David here wants to praise God, as it were, without limits. In the original Hebrew, don't normally talk about the original Hebrew, for obvious reasons, because we don't really speak Hebrew. But One thing that is helpful to notice, in the original Hebrew, every verse begins with a different letter of the alphabet. And all the letters of the alphabet are covered here in this psalm, except one letter. That's the letter N. Yeah, our version in the ESV has verse 13b in brackets. That's somebody putting that in afterwards because they were like, oh, the letter N has dropped out here. Let's stick another verse in with a letter N so the whole alphabet is mentioned. But I think it's deliberate that David has left that letter out. Because there's something about writing an alphabet of praise to God, starting with the letter A, going to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, running through the whole lot, saying, okay, let me give you reasons to praise the Lord. A whole alphabet of reasons. But I'm going to leave out one letter because it's not possible to complete the praise of God. He's using a poetic form to try and describe something theologically. You see, when it comes to God, when you see who he is, when you remember what he's done for you, when you experience and feel what he's done for you, which often happens in praise and worship, your heart bursts into praise of God, and there's a sense in which that praise is incomplete and will be incomplete, even in glory, which is why the praise of God will continue forever and forever. Well, David does give us some reasons here to praise the Lord. And I want us to see a few things about, and then I want us finally at the end to see an encouragement for praise. What should the motivation be? So first of all, the nature of praise in verses 1 to 7. What should praise be like? Well, we should praise the Lord in every way possible. He has this list of terms for praising God. I will extol you. That means to tell how great God is, to lift him up. We've sung that in our worship already. Make him high. You know, get him up. Lift him up before our eyes. Extol him. And bless him. To bless somebody is to be generous to them, to speak well of them, and to be generous towards them. And so God blesses us and he's generous to us. Now, we can't be generous to God because we can't give God anything which he hasn't already given us. So we're to bless him for his generosity towards us. And what are we doing when we do that? Well, if extolling him is making him high, blessing him is putting ourselves in a position of submission to him. We bless you, God, because you've been so kind and generous to us. We are really small and you are really big. That's how he starts the psalm. And he's big because he is God. He is king. This is David saying this. You know, David's a really important guy. And one of the things about being important people is it's very easy to start to think that you're really important. And when you think you're really important, you often don't say, I'm really small and someone else is really big. You say, I'm really big and everyone else is average or less. But David, even though he's the king, even though he's been the king for quite a long time, even though he knows he's a great person, before God, he's small. He sees he's insignificant before the great God of heaven. He's humble before the living God. And because of that, he wants to burst out into praise to him. He wants to praise God, he says in verse 3, to glorify him for his qualities. He wants to commend God, he says. One generation shall commend your works. He wants to declare, verse 4. He wants to meditate, verse 5. To meditate means to, when he speaks about meditating on your wondrous works, I will meditate. He wants to, you know, when you're bored sometimes, you start thinking about something that you like, and you know, you start meditating on it, you know, and it makes you feel good. So I used to do that with Blackburn Rovers, don't at the moment. Some people have been doing that with Manchester City, you know, that wonderful goal that they scored yesterday. You know, you start meditating and you start contemplating it. Well, David says, when I do that, that's praising God. Because what are you saying when you do that? You're saying, that's the thing that makes me happy. That's the thing that makes me satisfied and complete. God, you do that for me. Thinking about what you have done for me satisfies my soul. I'm going to meditate on you, and that's a way of praise. I'm going to speak about you, verse 6. I'm going to pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. Sing aloud of your righteousness. I'm going to, verse 7, give thanks to you. Verse 10. I'm going to give thanks to you, O Lord. See, David uses every kind of word, all the vocabulary he can muster, all the stuff at his fingertips to describe the activity of praising God. Speaking, meditating, declaring, pouring forth, blessing, extolling, singing aloud. Because he says, God should be praised in every way possible. Every way in which I can praise the Lord, may I do that. I'm praising for his greatness, praising for his goodness, praising for his righteousness. Let me praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, not just in every way, but in all, for all time. Let me praise the Lord eternally. He starts off by saying that. He says, verse 2, every day I will bless you. Daily, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to say to the Lord, Lord, you are great, I am small. May your name be praised through the way I live today. And one of the things I try and do every morning is to remember Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Lord, help me to remember this morning that your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Remembering that every morning is a way of praising the Lord. You're saying, Lord, your mercies, your compassion are new to me every day. May you be praised for that. You know, we say in the Lord's Prayer, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory. And when is it God's kingdom, power, and glory? Forever and ever. It's always God's kingdom, always God's power, always God's glory. And that's what David's doing here. Every day I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to praise your name forever and forever and forever. And why does David want to praise God's name forever and ever and ever? Because, verse 3, God is great. And therefore he's greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. What's that mean? It means you can't search it out. You can't get to an end of discovering his greatness. One of the things about heaven, which sometimes people go, well, if heaven's just all about praising the Lord, it's going to be a bit dull, isn't it? It would be if there was an end to the praise of God. Because you come to a point and you'll go, well, I've done that. I've sung that about that. I've thought about that. I've come to an end of praise because I've covered all that ground already. But because God's greatness is unsearchable, because you can never get to the end of it, there'll never be a point where you'll say that, where you'll be able to say, you know, I've completed my praise. Because there'll always be something about the greatness of God which you will learn and discover every day. That will make heaven interesting, exciting, and make the praise of God never dull. God's praise is for all time, but God's praise should be from all people. He says this in verse 4, one generation shall declare, shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I think he's thinking here about Deuteronomy chapter 6, where you've got that famous statement from Moses where he says, the Lord is one generation. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But then what does he say after that? He says, you've got to tell your children about this great God and about what he's done for you. You see, how will every generation praise the Lord? By us telling our children and encouraging our children to tell their children the wonderful things that God has done. You know, investing in ministry to children is so important. You see, if it's just us here praising the Lord, then we'll continue to praise him for the next, Lord willing, 60 years, 70 years. But we want God's praise to continue forever, and therefore we need to tell our children in Gospel Kids, in Clementines tomorrow morning, to praise the Lord and encourage them when they're our age to teach their children and encourage their children to praise the Lord, because everybody should be praising the Lord because of who he is. And that's how he finishes in these first few verses. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, verse 6. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, shall sing aloud of your righteousness. One of the interesting things I discovered was in verse 5, the word works is not there. It's the word word. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous words, I will meditate. Why does that make a difference? Because it's God's word that shows us his works. It is his works that he's talking about here, but he's talking about his works that we see in his word. And what does his word tell us about what God has done? It tells us that God has created us, created all things. And so we should praise him. It tells us about how God has redeemed us and saved us through Jesus Christ. And so we should praise him, not only because he's made us, but because he's saved us as well. That's what the Bible teaches. That's why we should praise the Lord. That's why we should meditate on those things. You know, when you think about it, we took Will out for a meal last night. Actually, Will's just recently been paid his first paycheck. So we took me and Jill out for a meal last night, which is amazing. You know, you need to teach this to your children as well as teach the children about praising the Lord. You need to tell your children that when they get paid for the first time, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful to take your mum out? And you can take your dad out as well. I said, thank you so much for taking us out for this, you know, lovely meal. And he said, no problem. He said, you know, I want to thank you for having me in the first place. Because, you know, it would have been possible for Will not to exist. You know, when it comes to praising the Lord, the foundation of the praise is the fact that God has made us, because he didn't have to. But we exist. And we should say, thank you, Lord, for making me. I praise you for your greatness and glory in making me. And not only that, for saving me as well. In fact, we come on to that more in verses 8 to 13. And the basis for praise. Why should we praise the Lord? What is the basis, the ultimate basis of praising the Lord? Well, we've just been talking about the character of God, his goodness, his greatness, his righteousness. You know, God is great, powerful. God is good. And God is righteous. That means that everything that he does is right. Now, because he is those things, what flows out of his character is mercy and grace. He acts graciously because he is good and great and righteous. That's what he says in verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. Do you know, sometimes people say that, and Henry mentioned it this morning in the sermon, that you read the New Testament and you see a God of love. You read the Old Testament, all you see is a God of anger and harshness. Well, actually, this is the gospel. And it's here in the Old Testament. And not just in Psalm 145, but this is quoted from Exodus 34. When Moses has a vision of God on Mount Sinai, and the Lord says, I'm going to let all my glory and goodness pass before you. And what happens when God's glory and goodness pass before Moses? Well, God says something. He says, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's the gospel. That's the good news in the Old Testament. You see, the first thing that we should see about God when we read the Bible is God is a God of grace, who doesn't treat us as we deserve, but gives again and again and again and again and again and again to us. To us who don't deserve. He gives his love. He gives his kindness. He gives, most of all, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this gospel fulfilled in the cross of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross, it was like God saying, let me tell you who I am. The Lord, merciful and gracious. So merciful and gracious that I would send my Son to die on a cross for you, even though you're sinful. You, even though you're messed up. You, even though you're broken. I would send him to die for you so that you might be forgiven. And that your relationship with me might be restored simply by trusting in him. That is the gospel. That is what Jesus Christ has done. That is God's love. See, God is such a loving, great, and gracious God. He's good to all, it says. His mercy is over all that he has made. You know, God's love is universal, but not uniform. And that makes it fascinating. God's love is like a diamond. It's multifaceted. You pick up a diamond and you look at one angle and the light reflects and you spot, and the diamond sparkles in a particular way. And you turn the diamond into another direction and the light shines and you see it sparkle in a different kind of way. That's one of the reasons why diamonds are one of the most expensive things you can buy, because you can never get bored of seeing the way the light just shines and sparkles, and the bigger the diamond and the more well cut it is, the more it does that. The same with God's love. You see, God's love is so fascinating, so multifaceted, that you look at it and you go, well, God has been good to everybody. Everything that he's made, he's given people life and breath and all things. He's kind, he's good, and yet he's specially good to his people who he has chosen before the foundation of the world and who he has revealed his love specially and specifically to them in Jesus Christ. And so we should praise God because he's our maker and because he's our redeemer. And finally, in verses 14 to the end, we're given such an encouragement to praise the Lord. And we're encouraged to praise him when we remember specifically what he's done for us. So we've talked generally about the cross and God's great love, but let's think specifically. That's what David's doing at the end. Let me think specifically about what he's done for me and what he's done for other people like me. And what has God done? Verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. What's that mean? God helps people in need. God loves to help people in need. You know, that's a reason to praise the Lord. When you're in need, often when we're in need, we just cry for help. Well, in some sense, that's a praising the Lord. But we should, in our need, move towards the Lord and say, I want to praise you because I know that you are a God who helps people in need. And there aren't other gods like that. In fact, there's not many leaders like that. People don't really like to help people in need because it's time-consuming and costly.
And tiring.
You're right, Paul. But God doesn't get tired. And he's got infinite resources. And he's got all the time in the world because he's everlasting and eternal. He gives food to all. Verse 15, the eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. God is generous in his provision. That's another reason to praise God. He's been generous to you. You've all got clothes on. Generous. You've all probably eaten today. That's generous. You've all got friends and family. If you haven't got a friend, I'll be your friend. So you've got one. You've got friends, you've got family. God's generous. You got a roof over your head? He's generous. Got this wonderful sunshine? He's generous. You got a job to go to? He's generous. You got money in your bank? He's generous. And verse 18, he answers prayer. The Lord is near. It's incredible, isn't it? God who's made the heavens and earth, who has sent Jesus to die for us, is near to you. He's not far away. He's closer than the closest friend. The everlasting God, the great God, near. He's near. He's near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. I love a verse in Psalm 116 where it says, I love the Lord. He heard my voice and my cry for mercy. What's that mean? It means that God hears our cry, yes, but he hears your voice. All our voices are unique. We know that because when a child shouts, I know which child that is. I don't know if it's mine or not. You know that. We've got unique voices. He knows your unique voice. He hears you specifically, as well as the cry that you make. And he protects his people. Verse 20, the Lord preserves all who love him. It's incredible. But all the wicked he will destroy. So if you're on the right side of him, if you're trusting in him, then he will protect you, preserve you. If you're not, he will destroy you. And so at the end, David says, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name forever and forever. He concludes his psalm and summarizes everything by saying, look, if this is what God has done for you, shouldn't we praise the Lord and praise him forever and forever and forever?